You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 16th of November. Defense, oh defense, oh defense. Why don't you show every night? The Philadelphia 76ers preview, and it's a Pack Friday, which is otherwise known as a Points Gained Friday. That, plus an exciting Locked On NBA announcement, all coming up next on Locked On Jazz. Pow! All right, so I may or may not have just come close to forgetting the name of the show. Hope you're doing great. It's a Friday. We're in Philadelphia. It's snowy. I had a wonderful dinner last night with Alex Jensen at the best restaurant. I don't know. I had a good meal in Dallas, too, at Uchi. I've really, you know, I'm going to be a blimp. I'm not kidding around on food, but really had a wonderful time last night with AJ. And the restaurant is Soraya. Was ranked on Bon Appetit's top 50. New, I think either total restaurants or new restaurants. And Philly's best new restaurant. And if you're in Philadelphia, I cannot strongly suggest it enough. Last year, I had a similar experience at a restaurant called Felix in Los Angeles, which is rave reviews and hard to get a reservation at. But if you're out in L.A., I would tell you Felix, where it's just new restaurant, incredible. They're hitting it out of the park. This was Lebanese. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Otherwise, and then, of course, because I was with Alex, we stopped for ice cream. That's what we do. Get the non-drinking guys out. We go stop for ice cream. So it's snowy. It's cold. And that's about it. Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia. It's one of my favorite cities. Here's what I want to do today. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, a lot of those today, on the Utah Jazz. We do this daily. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Jazz. Jazz play tonight, by the way, against the 76ers. If you are an NBA League Pass subscriber or Audio League Pass subscriber, you can activate the NBA skill on your Amazon Alexa and tell your Alexa to play Utah Jazz basketball, and you'll get the play-by-play at home. All right, here's what I want to do on the show today. I want to talk about our defense. Yesterday was all about our offense. And then I want to talk about Philadelphia, and then we'll do a Pack Friday. Sound good? Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Big announcement on Locked On NBA. Trevor Booker, former Jazz man, who is currently rehabbing a toe surgery and trying to get back in the league. He's only 30, 31 years old. Joined Locked On Podcast Network as an NBA analyst. So he is the host of, he is the guest on Locked On NBA today. He's just terrific, and hope you enjoy it. All right, let's get to our defense. Why are we talking about our defense? Well, because it's not as dominant as it was a year ago. That's not stunning to me. It's disappointing. But it's not stunning. I think there's a level where trying to replicate the level of dominance that we had for 40 games last year, I thought kind of the whole time, I thought might be too hard to do. But according to Clean the Glass, which takes out blowout time, we're 12th. Okay, I didn't think we'd be there either. So let me do a few things to try to figure out what's going on. First, let's get a check of where we were at this point last year. We were in a similar, you know, if you kind of look at last season, we were at a similar point in time. We had just come off a really poor game against Miami. I was convinced we would never score again. We were not floating around with a high level of optimism on November 16th of a year ago. And I don't think we should sit around and try to pretend that we're going to be able to replicate what we did in the second half of last season, though that schedule is far easier. At this point, 15 games into the season, we were 6-9. I'm just going to write this down because I'm curious to see how it compares. We're shooting 43% from the field and 36% from three. And if you look at our rankings, we are minus 2.2. We were terrible on the road. And we were not an elite level defensive team early in the year last year either. I was more curious to see if we were as bad offensively, and I think we actually might have been at that point. So we were 26th in the league in field goal percentage. We were 15th in the league in three-point percentage. And as I said, we were 15 games in the season, and this counted today, so this would count tonight's game. I could have said it a little bit differently. We were 26th in offense, and we were 7th in defense and 23rd overall. Now, we certainly didn't, you know, we came back with the same roster, and we didn't think that those things were going to happen in the same manner, but we weren't dominant at this point last year either. So maybe there is a whole feeling out process and understanding. Maybe there's something that guys have got to get hurt and not have everybody be as talented as they are right now. Right now we are 22nd in the league in effective field goal percentage defense. Last year, this time we were 15th. We're 19th in turnover rate. Last year we were 2nd. That's considerably different. We're not forcing the turnovers that we forced. Our rebounding was 13th, is now 3rd, and our free throw rate is about the same. Okay, so overall, we're not as good. That's a little disconcerting. Interestingly enough, I just find this kind of strange, is last year at this point in time, we were dominant in second quarters, and we are again. Last year, we were the second best team in the NBA in second quarters, and we are again. We were 26th in first quarters and 29th in third quarters last year, and we're similar this year. So we were having a hard time with the starting lineup. Ricky Rubio was struggling. There are probably some parallels. All right, so that's where we were compared to this time last year. We were 7th in the league last year. Defensively, right now, we're 12th. That's a step backwards. There's no hiding that. So why? What's going on? Well, the primary thing that's going on is this wild inconsistency. And if you look at it, Sacramento had a 114. The Warriors had a 113 on us. League average is about a 108 or 9 this year. It's up. Then we were brilliant against Memphis and brilliant against Houston and not very good against New Orleans. Wait a sec. I did that wrong. Great against New Orleans. Great against Dallas. So then we linked 4 games, and then we weren't very good in Minnesota. Derrick Rose went nuts, and so you kind of put that aside and said, okay. First game back from a long road trip, Marc Gasol, Memphis, we weren't very good. Again, I kind of, at this point, I'm thinking to myself, all right, the Warriors had a good game against us. Sacramento played inspired on opening night, but they were about league average. That's fine. And we've had a bad night against Minnesota when Derrick Rose went bananas. And just didn't have a great, and had a, Donovan didn't play, if I remember correctly, on this game against Memphis. And we couldn't hit a shot. And so that one I just pushed aside. We were great defensively in Denver despite being exhausted. And then the Raptors ran by us. But again, Donovan didn't play. And we couldn't hit a shot. So it's like, okay, if you can't hit a shot, you cannot be good defensively. So the real kind of looking back at last year, we were 26 defensively and 7th, or 26 offensively and 7th defensively when our defense got, when our offense got a bit better, then our defense was no longer on its heels the whole time. Then we were brilliant defensively against Dallas, and then we weren't very good defensively against Boston, but we won. We were good enough. We were brilliant defensively in Memphis. We were bad in Dallas. But again, in Dallas, we're tied with Dallas in a pretty good game, and then we missed 13 straight threes. I didn't write down the defensive rating. The defensive rating at halftime was a 120. We'd missed 10 of our final 11 shots. I didn't write down the defensive rating after the first quarter, but we allowed 30 points, so it wasn't great. We have... okay, Warriors, okay. Brilliant for 4 straight. Not good for 2. Really good against Denver. Terrible against Toronto. Great against Dallas. Okay against Boston. Not great. Great against Memphis. And then terrible against Dallas. I'm a little nervous that there was just something funky in Dallas, whether we're mentally fried or just something weird that day. Because if you take that one out, then I actually feel like the defense is still coming. And I wouldn't be concerned about it. But that's it, that Dallas, you know, the Dallas blip is weird, and Philadelphia's a tough team to guard. So we'll see what happens in Boston, and then this, and then we're going to get exhausted here coming up. So let's take the next dig. What about shot distribution and that sort? So last year, teams shot 62% in the restricted area against us. This year, they're shooting, and they were 20, and they were 12th in the league. This year, they're at 64% and 23rd in the league. Now, before, that's a 2% jump. The 24th is significant, and there are the league is up a percentage point. Actually, it's not. It's down a percentage point. It's just taking more there. So that's significant. We're not defending at the rim at the same level. You know, that's, what, about 30% of our shots allowed. It's 2 percentage points. It's not that big a deal. In the mid-range, we've got some weird stuff going on that I personally, coaches would not think this way, but I would put as bad luck. Teams are shooting in the short mid-range at 44.2%. Last year, we were at 38%. We've gone from 9th to 27th in the paint short mid-range. That's an area where Rudy used to really bother people. Right now, we're not bothering people, but they're also making, it's an unusually high rate to make. The league average on that's 38%. People are going to start missing that shot. It's just facts. The variance on the defensive end between the best and worst defensive teams in an area at the end of a season gets slim. And the reason they get slim is because that bell curve that between those teams shortens up. And it's just the law of averages playing 29 other teams. So the fact that the Jazz are at 44%, that will slim down. The worst in the league last year was 43.7. The best in the league was Boston at an unusual 35.8. League average is 40% last year. If you kind of cut off the top, cut off the bottom, the fifth best team in the league was 37%. The fifth worst team in the league was 42. You're going to find yourself inside that range of 2 or 3 percentage points between that, and we're outside of that range right now. So that's going to come back. That's guaranteed. Mid-range. Teams are shooting on long mid-range shots 45% against us. Okay, the league average is 40. We've gone from ranking 9th to 28th. That's just bad luck. Let's just do the same thing again. Cut off the top five. Last year, the fifth best defensive team in the league on mid-range was 39%, and the fifth worst team in the league was 42%. You're going to fall in that range. Now, that shot's being taken a lot less, so that variance. But right now, we're at 45. That's just not going to last. We were right in the middle last. We were 39.5 last year, ninth best defense. So we've been unlucky, really unlucky in that regard on that front. All right. We'll talk about three-point shooting and shot distribution when we continue before we preview Philadelphia. Today's show is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. And you know what I remembered to do that I'm so glad I remembered to do? I remembered to order my Destel turkey. Frankly, I'm really excited because otherwise my wife would have killed me. We got our 20-pound turkey for the family. We're going to do a breakfast turkey because we fly that day to Los Angeles, and so therefore it's not quite not going to be quite the same thing for everyone. But there are exciting things going on at the store. The Destel turkey pre-order is going on right now. You can order in-store calling the meat department. Destel multi-generational family farm that's committed to delivering an all-natural, hormone-free, vegetarian-fed birds. $3.49 per pound, which is pretty low price. So nice for that quality that you're getting great stuff. Also, huge news from the store. They're opening a new location. It will be right in the center of the Gateway, a block away from Vivint. It'll be the old J. Crew space right across from the Children's Museum, First South and Rio Grande. So a lot of excitement involving that. Also, all your holiday needs, June pies come in on Fridays, and today is a Friday, so make sure you get down there to 600 South 20th East. Check out the June pies that are in. Head over to the left. You'll see a little thing that says Locke's Choice or Locke's Pick. That's the freshly squeezed orange juice that I love so much. They have all their produce there. Then the cheese table as you work your way back. A lot of frozen, homemade frozen things from the store there. And then a great meat section with Hartford meat that they did the big tasting test on, and you work yourself all the way back to the right front corner and you end it off with a mudslide cookie. That's at 6200 South and 20th East. That's the store. Grip6.com/lock. That's pretty cool. Grip6.com/lock. Grip6 is a Utah belt company. They have built an incredible company and a great belt. It's the only one I wear. Why? Well, because Kenyon sent it to me, and then I found, or Keenan, excuse me, not Kenyon. Keenan sent it to me, and then I used it, and then it was great. And it was stunning to me how great it was. So what's cool about Grip 6 is the belt loops inside. You have no flaps, no holes, and you end up with a snug fit, close fit, and end up with a, for those people who are a little heavier, they say you don't get that pinching that you get a lot of other belts. And you don't have that thing where you have to, like, change it based on whatever little hole that exists from the belt company rather than the one that fits you. It fits you perfectly. It holds. There's absolutely never loosens up at all. And then it's cool. You can interchange the buckles and the straps for different looks. If you want the cool golf look with a bright color, you can do that. If you want a more business attire look, you do that. I love the carbon fiber look. And right now, with the promo code LOCK20, you get 20% off any individual belt or buckle strap combination and 33% off the three buckle, three snap, including the Grip 6 hanger that's there for you. Go to grip6.com/lock. That's grip perfect gift, people. grip6.com/lock. All right, let me finish up on the defense. So 3 points, we got to the kind of, we're getting unlucky in the mid-range. And the corner threes, the three-point shooting, we're actually a little better than we were a year ago of all kind of crazy things for the whole season. Last year, opponents shot 40% on corner threes and 36% on above the break threes, which were both a little bit above league average. Right now, we're the 10th best team on corner threes. We're 23rd on above the break, but within 0.3 percentage points of a year ago. We've gone from 21st in the league at defending the corner three to 10th and 17th to 23rd on above the break. So when I look at just shooting against us, what I see is that we have had an unusual, unlucky streak on mid-range, non-restricted area twos. Teams are finishing at the rim a little bit better. And then go back to what we talked about. We're not forcing turnovers, which is probably hurting us a little bit offensively, naturally. But the effective field goal percentage is impacted by rim shots and an unnatural mid-range game that will even out. Where foul rate is about the exact same, our defense rate is about the same, and we're not forcing turnovers. We're just maybe not playing with the same force that we did. Now, I am a huge believer in defensive shot distribution. That if you that because all these things normalize and get close together, I think that you have to really do a good job at having the right shot selection and defensively. And the Jazz are, last year, were the fifth best team in the league at denying the rim. And this year, were the fifth best team at denying the rim. Okay, teams are shooting another 1 percentage point more at the rim because the entire league is. Above the break three, last year, we were eighth in frequency. Now we're 10th. Okay, that's a little bit of a change. And last year on the corner three, we were fourth best at denying and we're now 12th. Little change, not as tight, right? overall last year, forcing smart shots, we were second best in the NBA at 60%, holding people to 60%. This year, we're holding people to 64%. We're fourth best in the league. The league's better at this, too. Right? So the league is taking smarter shots than they took a year ago. So before we look at Philadelphia, here's my summary. A lack of forcing turnovers. An unusual high-rate, mid-range shooting makes, which I actually think may have impacted the team a little bit. I think we got unlucky early in the year with Golden State and Derrick Rose, and I'm guessing that we reacted to that because that's what happens. That's what coaches and players do. They react to what just happened to them. It's an unnatural thing to decide to sit around and ignore that. And that, in turn, has skewed our shot distribution defense slightly. Very slightly, but from, you know, hey, we're still fourth best in the NBA. We were second best. But that's my guess here, is that three-part equation. So how does it get fixed? Well, I think one is the shooting, the mid-range shooting will fix itself. That just the league doesn't shoot at that rate. No one's going to shoot 45% on all mid-range shots against us. Two, as they start to miss those shots, I'll bet you our shot distribution gets right back in line and we take away some of those more corner threes and we fix that a little bit because we're not as bothered by those mid-range shoot by the mid-range shooting. The bigger question is there something going on with player movement and the league that's attacking us differently? I do think the league is spread out a little bit more. And I do think that the instinct to that is that we must be allowing much more shots at the rim. But we're not. Right? Like, we're not. We're allowing a higher percentage at the rim. And probably worth a deep dive to see if that's happening with Rudy or just Derek, because our defense is not very good with Derek at center right now. But we're not allowing more shots at the rim. We're not forcing as many long twos, and some of those are becoming corner threes and above the break threes, and we probably like to fix that. You know, according to Clean the Glass, we're ninth overall at denying threes. Last year we were fourth. That's a little bit of a switch. Am I panicked? No. I think if you look at our bad defensive nights, they're correlated usually to bad offensive nights. And if you go back to where we were at this point last year, we were 26th offensively and 7th defensively instead of 1 defensively. Sure, we're 12th, but we didn't have this weird mid-range thing going on. That weird mid-range thing going on would drop us to 7th, and an improved consistency of offense will get us back in the top 5. And our offense has overall been pretty good. So that's my take. We'll see if I'm right. Wow, I've gone really long today. We'll do pack or points gain a second. Philadelphia's 9-7. They run the fewest high pick and rolls of any team in the NBA. They just don't run a high pick and roll. They don't run a lot. Their lack of shooting out of Simmons and Fultz limits what they run. They're 18th offensively. They're 6th defensively. They're 18th in the league in the half court. They don't do it a lot, though. They do it the 7th fewest of any team in the league. We're better, one of the better teams at keeping them in the half court. We'll have to do that again. They're 20th in the league in three-point shooting, but they take a lot. We're actually shooting less well than them, and we talk about them as a bad shooting team, but they've lost Covington and Sarich, so they may not be the same. They turn it over at a high level. Both of these two teams are high turnover teams. And the question is whether we're going to force it, because neither team forces a lot of turnovers. So it's a really interesting matchup. Their three-point shooting is Fernan Korkmaz, at 42%. That was almost bad. It might have been all the way bad. Redick at 36% and Shamet at 34%. So they don't have great three-point shooting. We're Burks, Niang, and Ingles, so we probably, and then it falls off the map. Both teams kind of foul the same, and both teams go to the line a lot. They're actually really crazily similar. We're 14th in effective field goal percentage. They're 13th. We're 24th in turnovers. They're 25th. We offensive rebound a bit more. They're third in free throw rate. We're third in free throw rate. They're second. Their effective field goal percentage defense is better, but they force even fewer turnovers than we do. We're the third best defensive rebounding team. They're the eighth. They're the 15th in fouling. We're the 16th in fouling. Crazily similar in a lot of ways. All right, Pat, points gained coming up next. So, probably I haven't looked at it. Going to have some ugly numbers, though, I'm guessing. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street in Murray. So excited for what they've got coming for you. The holidays coming up. Surprise someone in your family with what's going on at Murdoch Hyundai in Salt Lake. Great lineup of Murdoch cars. The no regrets buying experience. The Murdochs doing everything they've done for 90 years to make the Salt Lake residents, Logan residents, Linden residents. Linden probably didn't exist 90 some odd years ago. Have this great experience. The Kona is out there. Listed on their site right now at $24,660. It's the small, zippy SUV. It's so much fun. The Santa Fe 2019 is there. You've probably seen it in all the commercials. We bought didn't buy the 2019 version, but we got a Hyundai Santa Fe with all the bells and whistles and safety features. Absolutely loving it. Put the snow tires in the rack on top yesterday. Well, my wife did. I was in Philadelphia. The Hyundai Tucson as well. Go check it out. The Murdoch and see what's going on. $7,000 off the Sonata right now as well. All at Murdoch Hyundai. Car washes for life. My wife got the oil change yesterday. Oil changes for life. She set it up. Oil change, in and out, 25 minutes. Perfect customer service. Loved it. And that's all what Murdoch Hyundai is all about. Plus, you get the return policy and the 5-day price match guarantee. Or 5-day price match guarantee and the 5-day return policy. It is Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. All right, let's do a little points gained. Points gained is our exclusive offensive metric to the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Jazz, and it looks at how players use possessions and scoring opportunities in contrast to the league average. So Steph Curry leads the NBA at a 5.4 points gained, which is incredible. In his 21 scoring opportunities a night, he scores 5.4 points more than an average player would with the same. I think we're going to see a switch in the league here, by the way. You are going to see the impact that the player movement rules are having and how dominant and important big men are. Okay? Watch this. The watch this part, by the way, is me sorting. You didn't really see that happen, but that's what that was. Okay, Steph Curry is number one in the NBA. Kevin Durant is number two at 3.5. Rudy Gobert is the third most positively impactful offense player in the NBA. How is that? He has no moves because he can dunk. In 11 scoring opportunities a night, he is shooting 72%. He is 3.4 points above league average offensively. Domantas Sabonis is number four. Montrezl Harrell is number five for the Clippers. You want to know why the Clippers are so good? Montrezl Harrell, 10 scoring opportunities a night, is right where Rudy Gobert is, 3.2. Pascal Siakam in Toronto is number five. It's incredible. Six. LeBron James, not aging at all, number seven. Joe Harris in Brooklyn, number eight. Etwan Moore, number nine. Spot up three-point shooters that are hitting at a high rate and getting a lot of shots. Bojan Bogdanović in Indiana is number nine. Nikola Jokic is 10. Dwight Powell is 11, and Marcus Morris is 12. These are all the guys over two. Chris Middleton, then DeAndre Ayton, incredible for a rookie, though, even though he's huge. He's averaging 16 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. Dame Lillard is at 2. DeAndre Jordan at 2. JaVale McGee at 2. The big man and the importance of the big man is back. If you do not have a big man that is rolling to the rim and getting you dunks, it's a problem. It's a problem for Boston. It's probably a problem for Philadelphia that Joel Embiid's popping all the time. It's probably a problem for, I'm trying to think of other good teams. Indiana's got one. Toronto's using Siakam that way. Over in the West, and I'm surprised I don't see Clint Capella's name. Serge Ibaka's at 1.9, Giannis at 1.9, Carl Anthony, Clint Capella are the next group. Brooke Lopez, Milwaukee, 1.7. But he's taking 67% of his shots as three. Trevor Booker talks about that on Locked On NBA. Zach Collins, very impressive for Portland at 1.5. Joel Embiid, 1.6. Julius Randle for New Orleans at 1.5. Those are the guys that are just killing it. Excuse me. Let's go down to the bottom and see who's killing their teams. Eric Gordon, Houston, and he's finally playing better. And if he plays better, they'll be all right. Alan Crabb, Brooklyn. Interesting next one here. LaMarcus Aldridge, didn't realize this, for San Antonio, having a brutal start to the season. Justice Winslow, again in Miami. Keep waiting for him. Avery Bradley in L.A. They've spurked up since he's got off the floor and not playing as much, and they're playing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The rookie Kevin Knox is a minus 2.7 in New York. Jonathan Simmons in Orlando. Jaylen Brown, minus 2.5 in Boston. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, minus 2.4. Ricky Rubio, minus 2.2 for Utah. CeeDee Osmond, minus 2.2. J.J. Barea, who felt like he killed us, minus 2.1. Tyus Jones struggling. Trey Burke struggling. Mario Hezonja. Raymond Felton. Markel Fultz, minus 1.9. He's taking 7% of his shots as a three. Anyone else of interest struggling here that you wouldn't expect? Fred VanVleet. Reggie Jackson in Detroit. Donovan Mitchell, minus 1.7. Evan Fournier, minus 1.7 in Orlando. A little surprised to see that. C.J. Miles. Andrew Wiggins at his usual spot, minus 1.5. So is Dennis Schroeder at minus 1.5. Jabari Parker, minus 1.5. Trey Young, minus 1.5. D'Angelo Russell, minus 1.4. The usual suspects have all found their spots down there. Not great that Donovan is still hovering in that, but we'll see if he can get out of it. Let's look at Utah. Thank goodness for Rudy. He's a 3.4. Derek Favors is a 1.1. Alec Burks is 0.6. Joe Ingles is only 0.5. Doesn't go to the line at all, so he has to be hitting a shot. George Niang, a 0.4. Epe Udo, 0.4. Royce O'Neal's even. Jay Crowder's a minus 0.2. Grayson Allen's a minus 0.4. Dante's a minus 0.6. Donovan's a minus 1.7. And Ricky Rubio's a minus 2.2. Thank goodness for Rudy and Derek Favors. The big men rolling to the rack. Quinn Snyder astutely aware of the rule changes and the value of having big men rolling to the rack and is taking advantage of it and keeping us afloat. All right, that's the look at today. Philadelphia, Boston. We'll be back with you Monday from Indianapolis. Post-game coverage, Locked On Jazz, Jazz Game Rewind, all of those on the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a great day. Make sure you go get Locked On NBA right now with Trevor Booker.